Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, good day. This is Dr. Ron Archer sitting in for Steve Arterburn, and welcome to New Life Live. Well, we're excited to have with us in our studio two of the best coaches, counselors there is in these United States, Dr. Sherry Keffer and Chris Williams. Hey, guys.
Hey, it's great to be with you. And, you know, that's a pretty big...
I feel like I have to live up to something here.
I know.
I call it as I see it, and you guys are a dynamic duo. To help us today, we'll be in the studio here talking with you, and I want you to call us in at 800-229-3000. You know, Jesus said something profound. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Not that you might, that you will. But he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Job said, a man that is born of a woman is born of a few days, and those days are full of trouble. So we want to talk about this concept today called storms. It is something that we're all facing during this COVID crisis and all that's going on. Now, in our practice, guys, STORM is an acronym for Significant Trauma Overwhelming Reasonable Minds. It is a significant emotional event that happens in our lives that can just drop us to our knees, can take the air out of our lungs and the hope out of our heart. Now, there's many kinds of storms. There can be a financial storm. There can be a marital storm. There can be a health storm. There can be a child-rearing storm. There can even be a vocational storm. But the beauty of all of this is that we were designed by God to face our storms and to transcend them, not to run away from them and hide, that we can face them as David faced Goliath. The Bible says he ran toward his storm, and Goliath went down. And when Goliath went down, David went up. So we want to be your storm survival coaching center to help you with the storms that you are facing. So again, call us at 800-229-3000. And we have someone who says, I'm in multiple storms. That's Mr. Bill in Walesco, Texas, KBBW. Mr. Bill, how are you today, sir?
I'm very blessed, sir. Thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. So what's your storm that you're dealing with?
Well, I'm dealing with several storms.
All right.
Okay. Of course, you know, everybody's dealing with this cold, this virus thing.
Yeah.
And it's affecting a lot of people and a lot of businesses and all of that. But I have, I have a very ill mother, and I have a very ill wife at the same, and then I had a job where I was working at home and home every day, but I had to give that job up, and now I'm back over the road again as a truck driver.
All right.
But the thing of it is.
Yes, what's your thing?
The reason I called in is not so much to get advice,
yes,
as to, you know, what to do about storms. Okay, because what you said was correct. What Job said, what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Okay.
Yes.
But the
Bill,
thing of
Bill,
it
let's
is,
do this. Is, I want you to hold on, hold your thought. We're going to come back to you, I promise you, after the break, so you can tell us more about the storms with your mom, your wife, your financial challenges, and what you really want to say to us, so we can help you transcend, overcome, breakthrough, not breakdown in your storm. You're very important, Bill. Hold on. And we'll get back with you, I promise you, after the break that's forthcoming, so you can transcend the significant trauma overwhelming reasonable minds. How do we survive the storms of life? We all need help.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, welcome back to New Life Live. This is Dr. Ron Archer, and we're talking to Mr. Bill about the multiplicity of storms that he's facing. And so, Bill, continue sharing your thoughts about the storms and what we can do to help you.
Okay, well, the thing of it is,
yes.
Is this. Okay, I'm also an author of a book. The name of my book is called Everyone's Inescapable Companions, Choices, and Consequences.
That's a nice title.
Yes, it is. And it's not a very long book. It's a very short book. And it's you can get it at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Because of time, we really need your question so we can help you.
Well, the thing of it is, you know what? The best help that I have in all the storms that I'm facing, all the things that I'm going through, is Jesus Christ and Him alone.
Yes. Okay.
The thing of it is everything starts with a choice.
Yes, it does.
Every day I get up and I'm faced with these things that are going on, these storms in my life, and I can choose. I have a choice. I can choose to focus on what's going on or to focus on where my redemption lies.
True. So,
amen.
So okay. Bill, hold on. Is there something we can help you with?
Well, I mean, other than I don't know. I mean, I'm
okay.
But
let me jump in.
Go ahead, Chris.
Bill, let me jump in here. So certainly, God has given us Himself as the greatest resource. In that, though, we see this so consistently throughout Scripture. God has given us other people. It's why the church is called the body of Christ. And we see this in the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Jesus goes on to say to love others as yourself. So when we're facing many, many difficulties, trials of many kinds, as James says, it's that we dig deeper into, of course, our resource with God and our connection there. But we also dig deeper into our resources of other people around us, as well as even the resources that God has given within us. And so the people resource is the greatest resource that God has given us. And that you'll see that in what we do here at New Life and how we connect people to the changes and the healing and the growth that need to occur. Because God is a relational God and has created us as relational beings. And so it's through these trials that we're able to connect to people more deeply through the vulnerability of asking for help, as well as offering help in the things that we can do for other people.
And you bring up a good point, Chris. You know, think about what Jesus' name is when he came to this world, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when I think about doing deep work and deep trauma work, as you opened the show today, Ron, I had this picture, which I often tell folks that I'm working with, of Jonah and the whale, like when he, or the great fish, when he was swallowed, he was in the middle of a storm. Right?
Yes,
he was running from the very thing that God had called him into. But in the midst of that, he got swallowed in this fish. And when I'm doing deep trauma work, I often tell people this. I say, you know what? We're going to be doing a deep dive, and it's going to feel like being in the belly of a fish. Mm. Like you're going to look around, and there's fish heads, and there's like, you know,
it's smelly
license plates, and it stinks. And you're going to have some feelings that you don't like. But eventually, what you and I are going to do is we're going to end up on the shore. It's like that fish is only temporary. We're going to come out on the other side, and you're going to have a deeper understanding of who you are and what's happened. But this is the big deal. I'm going to be with you. So when you cry, I'm going to tear up. When you're going through this hard time, and I'm going to be a witness to your story. So that Emmanuel, that God with us, is a part of the comfort that we get when we're going through the deepest things that we're facing, whether they're current in COVID, whether they're about our past. The Lord says, don't do it alone. I am with you, but so are we with each other.
Yeah. And Jesus said, I am a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I will never leave you.
Love it.
Nor forsake you. Great job, guys.
Absolutely.
We have now Kathy from State College listening on Sirius XM, and Kathy's going to share her storm experience and to allow you all to help her to fight through it. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Blessed to hear your voice.
Hello. Thank you.
So how can we help you today, Kathy? How can we help you?
Okay, I'll try to make it short and sweet. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
I have a husband for 39 years. He's been unfaithful in our first 2 years of marriage. And then we've been married 39 years. But now he's starting to have another affair again with a girl that's 38 years old, and he's 65. She's a waitress. And then she said she had something about her, so he wanted his friend to pray for her. So we were going to do that. And then things didn't add up, what was said. You know, if things were getting a little lie here, a little lie there. So I called her up on his phone.
Okay.
And she told me she's been talking to him for 2 to 3 years, and they have a good friendship and this and that and da-da-da-da-da. But he's been texting her and deleting that and deleting this. That one day he forgot to delete it off his phone. That I'm going home, and call me at 10 o'clock tonight because I'll go back down to work. And I didn't even know it. Do you know what I'm saying? But he's saying they're just friends. And things are not jiving. You know, he's been lying, you know.
So you're having a relationship storm of trust. And how can we help you with that storm today?
Well, I was hoping that you could get know somebody around the State College area or Altoona for counseling.
For yourself or for your husband?
That would work. For both.
Okay, all right. Chris, what do you got for us?
You know.
Kathy, before any of that, I want you to trust what your gut is telling you.
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
You know, Sherry talks a lot about this, and you called in the right day with Dr. Keffer here today. But I just, as a man, I want to affirm that what your gut is telling you may not be accurate in details, but it's so amazing how accurate it can be in the process. In what is going on.
I want to talk to her.
Yeah, well, something, before you talk to her, she's not your main crisis. Your husband is your main crisis. And the best.
Well, I already talked to him.
Okay, we're gonna reinforce this. But I don't want you to just talk to him about his bad behavior. And you may have already done this. I want you to talk to him about the pain that his infidelity is creating for you, is causing you.
Right.
And begin to talk to him about the things that you will not put up with.
Right.
So, Kathy, there I totally relate to you, girl. Have your story been where you are. First off, I want to tell you I'm heartbroken over what not only happened 2 years into your marriage, but has been happening, at least to your knowledge, the last couple years. And I was struck by you when you said, well, I'll try to make this short and sweet. And I want to say, Kathy, it's neither.
Yeah.
This is neither.
I know.
This is neither sweet, nor is it short. And they're not little lies. They're not little lies, my dear.
I know.
Sometimes for those of us, and let me include me into this statement I'm going to make, it's easier for us to try to not look at or minimize or make light of what is happening to us because it hurts so bad. You trusted him again 2 years into your marriage, and he's taken advantage of that trust. He's taken advantage of your heart, and he's betrayed you again. They are not just friends.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you've spoken to her, they're having an affair.
I know.
And so what are you doing for your heart right now? Because there's a part of me that feels like you're in that place where I was for a while, which was denying, not wanting to look at it. And I want you to do a deeper dive. Where's your heart? How are you feeling with the fact that this is affair number two? Or maybe more that you don't know about, but at least you know this is affair number two. How are you doing? How'd you wake up today?
Sick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sick. Because I couldn't eat for a while.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And now my blood pressure's going high.
Yep.
And now I found the lump in my breast.
Yep.
And I don't work. So I need his insurance.
Right.
You know, and he says he loves me, he's not going to talk to her no more or whatever. And I told him how I really felt. And he goes, I didn't think it was cheating. She's my friend. I said, I don't think so. I think it's more than that.
It is more than that. You know why I know this? Because your body's telling you so.
Hmm.
Your body, it's not eating. And you know what I find out over time, I hate to tell you this, but those that have untreated trauma around betrayal, they end up getting lumps in their breast because their body has been holding the tension of this for a long time.
Mm.
So I want you to get your own help. I want you to definitely go in with your husband and confront this with a marriage counselor. But you know what? I want you to have some time separate in your own work, your own betrayal work, to start sorting out what you need to do to make yourself stronger. Because right now you're dependent, you're scared, you're not working, and you need his insurance. And when we're in those places, we don't look. We don't look because we're too scared to face the fact that we might be alone, that we might have to do it on our own.
I know I can survive. You know what I mean?
So I want you to do some work, stay on the line, and we're going to send you a copy of my book, Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal, because I want you to get stronger so you can face this head on.
I know you have the strength and the faith, and with our support and support of good counsel, you're going to have a breakthrough and not a breakdown. Why? Because you had the courage to call. You can't heal what you don't reveal, and you revealed what you need help with, and that's the beginning of true healing. So we're going to go to Summit, New Jersey, WSNR, and Carolyn is on the line. How can we help you with your storm today?
Yes. Hi, guys.
Hey.
I am a little disappointed. I am 70 years old, and I've been a Christian since my 20s, and I have not ever gotten married. And I don't know, guys, if, you know, maybe I just was afraid of it. I didn't really know, I don't think, as my mom was sort of abusive, and I loved my mother, but I think she was sort of abusive, and I think it could have made me afraid of intimacy and closeness. But
Carolyn, can I just jump in right here? I want you to take a deep breath.
Yes.
I want you to pay attention to your body between your chin and your belly button. Okay? And in there, what do you believe about yourself? You tell yourself something over and over again, and it's, I am what?
I'm just a kind and gentle person.
Okay. So we're going to get into that a little bit more. So when we come up against the break, I want you to kind of pay attention, like maybe when you feel tightness in your chest or a turning in your stomach, that's a signal about a message I believe you probably adopted from your mom about who you are at that deep core level. And that's going to give us a really good indication of what the struggle is for closeness or intimacy.
Okay.
And so, yeah, stay on the line. We'll be right back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All righty. Welcome back to New Life Live. We have Carolyn. We're finishing our conversation with her. Chris, you want to continue on?
Yeah. So Carolyn, you notice anything in your core there?
Yes. I feel sort of like tense.
Uh-huh. Yeah, in that tension, now answer the question, a belief about yourself, I am what?
I'm probably afraid to be closer to men.
Because men...
In particular.
Yeah.
I'm okay with women, I'm okay with friends, but once it turns to like a romantic thing, I get tense and scared.
Okay, so a couple things. There's a lot that can go on here, but I'm going to ask this question. What are you afraid What are you afraid that a man is going to find out about you?
That I'm just maybe too shy, or I don't know what to say. I'm afraid, sir, to be myself, I think. You know, I'm not probably, after all these years, you know, and I have plenty of friends, always went to church, but once something turns romantic, I lack the confidence.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
And
that's what I think I lack, sir, the confidence to be myself.
So when you grew up with an abusive mom, was your dad quiet? Did he kind of slither away because he felt kind of beat up a lot of the time? Did he disappear?
Yes.
Did he? So it's like...
No, he was around, man, but she was so dominant.
Yeah.
She was so dominant that, you know, it was, you know, and I loved my mother, her way or the highway. She had problems that she never resolved, so that's how she dealt with them. She was angry. She was like an angry person, so we were sort of afraid of her, I think. So we appeased her just to keep peace, because you didn't want to get her mad.
Well, you know what I'm wondering about, Carolyn, is because you had a very imbalanced parents, you had a very, and I'm not going to minimize what your mom did. Your mom hurt.
Right.
Your mom hurt you. And your mom hurt your dad so much so that you guys couldn't even be comfortable, and you were afraid to be yourself. Well, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
You've carried that into your adult life. You're still afraid to be yourself because you grew up feeling afraid to be yourself. And when you're in a relationship and you start to feel feelings of attraction or like romantic feelings, there's a part of you that gets triggered and feels like, oh no, I might be losing control of me because you had to be so small. When you have romantic feelings, those feelings can be bigger than life.
Yeah.
You know, that those feelings of love and attraction, and but it's as if you're afraid to feel what's natural.
Yeah.
What's natural when you're in a safe relationship? I, too, was like you, and I had been really hurt by men in a very different way. But when I had romantic feelings, I used to say it felt like the blood drained out of me, and I felt like I was trying to catch my heart again. But you know what I did, Carolyn? I didn't stop pursuing my healing nor my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't stop going deeper because I really wanted to be in a relationship. I wanted to graduate out of singleness. And you know what? I'm hearing you at 70. You are a young 70, girl.
Yes. Yes. There's time.
It's the new 30.
We can hear it in your voice.
Yes.
But
can you?
Yes.
Yes.
We can.
You sound vibrant.
Yeah. You do. You sound vibrant.
I am. I'm young looking too.
Know. All and right so now. There is somebody out there that would probably love your vibrance. They would love your loveliness, but you're going to have to go in and figure out how to deal with that feel of being in your own body.
And one of the things
being
that
in your own
Yes, being in your own body. Skin. But one of the things is, in underneath that, with your experience, it's natural to believe that I don't matter.
Mm.
And if you do, yes. If you believe that you don't matter, you believe other people are going to discover that you don't matter.
Yeah. Okay? That I don't matter.
And so now the work is mattering. God,
okay.
So let me give this scientific. Everything in the universe is made of these atoms that are referred to as matter. We matter and we don't get the option. But obviously, as we deepen our understanding of who God has created us to be and how much He loves us, I mean, we matter infinitely. But it takes a deep cultivation of that and getting that reinforcement. You have good friends. Mirror it back to them. Let them encourage you. Let them feed that and breathe that love and that value into you. But you're going to have to learn how to accept it and hold on to it and cultivate it.
You have to begin to love you, everything about you. I remember when I was growing up being abused and rejected and beat up, I felt like a mannequin. I looked like a real person, but I was hollow on the inside. And I learned four things. Don't talk, don't trust, don't feel, and pretend everything is okay. But it's not until you look into that mirror and you affirm what God says about you. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I set you apart for a divine purpose. Listen, young lady, you are here by divine design. Hug yourself, kiss yourself, love yourself, because you are something else all by yourself. All right?
We're going to send you the book, Finding...
Is there any books?
Yes. We're going to send you the book, Finding Freedom. And you know what, girl? Better than that, we're going to have you stay on the line, and we're going to get you hooked into one of our New Life therapists that's right in your area so you can begin your journey and grow out of this shell that you're in so you can give your love to someone else.
That's right, because it can start anew at 70. You can be the poster child.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is again Dr. Ron Archer sitting in for Steve Otterburn, and we're talking about storms and how to transcend them. And somebody's in the studio that's going to help us learn how we can get resources and information to be able to transcend our storms. Larry Sonnenberg, what do you got for us today?
Thank you, Ron. Hey,
you're the guy that helps us transcend here, honestly, because if we didn't have you, Larry, we wouldn't have the finances to keep us afloat.
Well, it's the folks that are listening to the radio that are providing those finances. I'm just kind of a voice begging.
Well, we're thankful that you are that
Thank
voice.
Thank you. Well, I want to remind people why we're doing what we're doing. So I want you to hear this. This is from a lady named Terry. She said, "I want you all to know how much your ministry means to me. 7 years ago, my heart was completely broken by divorce. I can't tell you how many days and nights your radio program was a comfort to me. Just to know I wasn't alone, and the reminders that God would be faithful to get me through the dark nights gave me the courage and strength to put one foot in front of the other and keep going. Today I'm finally able to believe in a future that's not doom and gloom. I've never had the pleasure of meeting you all, but I feel like you're my dear, sweet friends. Thank you for doing what you do, and may God richly bless you." So when we hear from folks like that, and we hear from a lot of people whose lives are different, just listen to the radio program. We want to continue it, and we want to keep it going, and we need support in order to do that. And your support blesses people like Terry and others that we hear from. So if you would make a gift, that would be great. If you would join Club New Life, we're really on a Club New Life kick right now this month. Call 800-NEW-LIFE. Ask them about the special thank you gift. We have 7 books. That library would change your life if you just read 2 or 3 of them. So give us a call, 800-NEW-LIFE. Help us out. And thank you, everybody who has been helping us out.
And Terry, thank you for calling us friends. That just warms our heart, too.
It does.
We love you, and it's so nice to know that we matter to you, too.
You know, as a pastor who's planted many churches, I can just reinforce the concept that it takes 3 G's to do any ministry of any effect. You got to have the grace of God. You got to have the grit of hard work, and you got to have giving club members to help you get the work done. Even Jesus had a treasurer. And I've learned something. You know, you reap what you sow, you reap after you sow, and you reap more than you sow. So thank you for joining us and being a part of this wonderful healing ministry to help people grow through their storm. So let's get back to the phones. We have Stephanie from Denver, Colorado, who's on Facebook, and she has a storm she wants to get solved. Stephanie, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. I would first like to say I'm a New Life member a little over a year now.
Yay, thank you.
Awesome.
Hey, if you up it by $10, you get this whole huge book thing that we're doing right now. So think about it. But thank you for being there for us.
Okay. I'd like to just say my storm is fear. And, I'm going to cry. But it keeps me from making decisions about things. And it...
Oh, so
take your
hard.
Time, sweetie. We're here for you.
It's
you're
okay.
In a safe place.
Well, first of all, I've been trying to make a decision because I have a son that is now, going to be 14 years old, but all these years I've been trying to decide of foster parenting. And that feeling inside of me just doesn't go away, and it just keeps coming back. And I don't know if that's something that I'm capable of doing. Because, I mean, I've experienced trauma myself, and I know the kids have come from a bad place that are in the system. And am I capable of doing foster care?
Yeah.
And the reason too is, my son, he's an only child, and I've wanted this for years, but it just keeps me stuck in making a decision to either do it or let it go. So,
Stephanie,
that is my thing.
What are you afraid of?
I guess just the unknown. Whenever you go to the orientations or the classes, you, of course, hear all the horror stories.
Yeah.
So that keeps me from making that decision.
Are you afraid is it a fear about yourself? Can I handle this? Is it a fear about the impact it may have on your son, or is it a fear of like, hey, this could be a very difficult situation for the child that we're fostering, or all of the above?
All the above. It's a fear of making the decision and backing out of what that child might bring into my home, of whether I can handle whatever is being brought into my home.
Yeah. Well, I think there's just some wisdom here, Stephanie. I think that there's a lot of times when we get into situations where we're trying to be helpful and trying to really engage in profound ministry like fostering, and it could even be adoption or something like that, where we kind of go in with this wide-eyed, rose-tinted glasses, but we figure out that the reality is much, much more difficult and challenging than what we ever expected. And so I think that there's wisdom in understanding and doing the research that you've done. But I also think that I'm wondering if that you're not more capable than what you're giving yourself credit for, but there's this fear that has been lingering on inside of you that maybe goes way back. I don't know. Like how much has fear determined your life?
And I'm wondering, Stephanie, where were you abandoned? When did someone leave you? How young were you? Oh, honey.
8 years old.
8 years old, sweetheart.
Wow.
8 years old when you were abandoned. So who abandoned you?
Yes, my mom passed away at 8 years old.
Okay, at 8 years
old. And it's also the way she died, which has got me fearful. And, you know, it seems like my fears have gotten worse as I've gotten older.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember having a lot of fears about things when I was younger.
But now, at 8 years old, everything changed. And I have had the privilege of working in foster and adoption for 6 years. That's how I cut my teeth on understanding my first years of therapy. And so if I was working with you, my dear, and I was to come into your home and I was doing a home study, I'd be doing exactly what we're doing right now. I would be asking questions of abandonment because I can see that your hurt and pain is leaking out, but you have a longing to bring another kiddo into the world, bring another kiddo into your home to create a safe place for them. Sometimes that unhealed wound drives us into wanting to give another kid what we didn't have. And so the first place I would go with you is I would do this. I'd say, thank you so much for giving your 14-year-old a very loving, stable, caring home. You've been an amazing mom. You've been an amazing mom who grew up in a home where you lost your mom. And it's really confusing to know how to be a mom when your mom left, right? She passed away at 8.
Right.
And so you only learned so much about what a mom looked like. But you've been an amazing mom to have your boy until 14. Mm-hmm. The second thing I would do is I would say, guess what, my dear? Before you think about fostering, I want you to go in and I want you to do your own trauma work about your own abandonment, loss, and loss of your mom at 8. Because until you heal that wound, no matter what kiddo you bring in their house, because they are special needs kids, they come in with a lot of trauma. They will trigger whatever's in your body that has not been figured out yet. So that would be the very second thing I would do, is I'd get into your deep work. And then the third thing I would tell you is just because you say no right now, doesn't mean no forever.
That's right.
Amen.
It might be that 2 years from now, after you've done your deep work, you decide to take this in. Or it might be when your son launches into college that you say, okay, now I want to do some fostering. I want to be a respite parent. I want to do... There's so many ways that you can be involved.
Well, and Stephanie, you bring up something really, really important that a lot of people struggle with. Oftentimes, our unresolved grief and loss metastasize over time into fear. And so that transformation, as it works itself out as fear, so when we go back into the grief and loss process, you'll see over time how the fear diminishes.
We're going to come back in a few months after the break. And so how do you feel about what you heard today?
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, welcome back to New Life Live. We're dealing with storms and trauma, and Chris has a final word to share.
Yeah, well, just for Stephanie, I think a really good book here, especially it's meant a lot to me. I have my own abandonment story at 8 and the damages that caused, but Changes That Heal by Dr. Henry Cloud, it was just such a step-by-step process for me to do the development and the maturity work that I kind of missed out on. So I really want that for Stephanie. And Stephanie, if you hang on as well, we have great therapists there in the Denver area, part of New Life Network. And so thank you for calling in. And Sherry, you'd mentioned something I want to mention, is that God puts something on our hearts oftentimes, or we feel convicted or compelled towards something good and great, but God wants to do something in us as much as, and sometimes before, we do something with somebody else.
So, very true.
Yeah.
So we're talking about storms, significant trauma, overwhelming reasonable minds. We know that the COVID-19 pandemic has created a lot of pressure in homes, people locked up and locked in, and we know that domestic violence is going up and anger against one another, and so we want to be able to deal with that issue. And so Helen is calling us from Facebook in Philadelphia, and she has a storm she needs some counsel with. Helen, how are you today?
Hi there. How are you?
Well, quite
Thanks
well,
for taking
dear.
My call.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Okay, so my question is, I am married, been married for many years, and my husband has some anger issues. And in the last year, they seem to have intensified, and I can't seem to convince him that it could be more than just he has a bad temper. He kind of minimizes it, but I think that it's maybe some sort of disorder or mental condition, and it might stem from the fact that he grew up in an alcoholic household where his father was very explosive.
Mm.
And when I talk to him about it, he thinks that it could be so, but he still doesn't understand the trauma that it causes me when he has his angry outbursts.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say it, I'm kind of minimizing it. They're mm-hmm. more like rages.
Yeah.
So it's they're getting to be, he doesn't, I've never been hit by him, but he's thrown things and destroyed things, and they're very intense. It's almost like an adult temper tantrum.
Yeah.
And well, it's disproportionate to the situation that triggered it.
Absolutely. So, Helen, this is so incredibly common. Thank you so much for calling in. When your husband shows up in my office, the very first thing I'm starting to assess for is depression. Men tend not to do sad; they tend to do angry. Because sadness oftentimes feels too vulnerable, or what we would mistake it as is weak, and so we flip it into anger.
Yeah.
Right? And there's something there's something inside of him that is obviously out of control that gets triggered from the inside and makes itself turn outward. But
it's like a small situation.
Yeah.
You're
right. He has these landmines of pain inside of him and that have tripwires around those landmines. And so someone will innocently walk through one of those tripwires, and he just goes into a rage. And so you're right, he does he does need to do the deeper work. However, you need to have very strong boundaries for your safety, for your well-being.
That's what I'm dealing with, is I feel like I know that there's something wrong inside mm-hmm. of him, and I have compassion for that.
Yes.
And because him and I always considered him my best friend, but now it seems like there's such distance between us. It's I'm starting to feel, you know, very on the outside, like I'm depressed. And
yes, yeah. Well, and there's a lot that can go underneath that too. Like,
yeah, he doesn't seem to. He thinks that it's simply. He was mad at something I said or did, and he didn't like the way I responded, and he just, you know, just had an outburst.
When
the outburst is done, he doesn't seem to understand how it affected me.
Well, yes. Of course
how
he doesn't.
Lingers with me.
Okay, of course he doesn't. You know why, Helen? And this is not going to feel good. But you know he knows what he's doing. He's counting on your compassion.
Mm-hmm.
He's counting on your empath. And that compassion is not helping him heal. He's aware when he's angry. He's aware when he's breaking things. He's aware when he's throwing things. Those are not, he's not in an altered state of reality.
It looks like when he does it, it's almost like I can't reason with him. Like
you
you
cannot reason with him when he's in the heat of anger.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what he's doing is he's using it to get power in your relationship. He's using it to control.
I think so.
So there is a woman who wrote a book. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about her book. Her name is Leslie Vernick. Her book is called The Emotionally Destructive Marriage. And what Leslie's going to do is help you unpack what is going on when there's a marriage that's disappointing and when there's a marriage that's abusive.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody is raging and they're throwing things and they're just because he hasn't hit you doesn't mean his rages aren't abusive. But if you...
Well, I'm starting to realize that because... I mean, we've been together almost 30 years, and I always would say he's got a temper problem. He gets angry, and I would try my best to help him with it.
But it's not getting help; it's getting worse.
No,
right? So
it's
that's
worse
yes. So that's when you need to get stronger. You need to get stronger. So we're going to have you stay on the line. We're going to get you into one of our new life therapists. We're going to send you Leslie's book because God is not okay with rage. God is not okay with anger. And God is not okay when people are throwing things or hurting people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not okay with God. And it's not okay with us.
So true. I remember growing up in a home where there was domestic violence. My stepfather beat my mom like a dog. My mom was a beautiful model. And if you stay in an abusive situation far too long, you're going to have a break. My mom broke and she bought a gun. And when he came home on a Friday night, he walked into the kitchen and then walked into the dining room. And she was there with a 45 Magnum.
Wow.
And she stood up and said, "I'll be the last woman you ever beat." And she fired the gun.
Wow.
Thank God my mom stood up. If she had not, she would have killed a man and been in prison today. But because she stood up, the bullet parted his hair. And finally, she learned space over strife. So if you stay in too long and get abused and the environment is toxic, it can have results in situations that you would not want for the worst person in your life. So thank you for sharing that particular story. Do you have time for one more call, you think?
No, we're going to wrap up here.
Okay,
today.
Well, let me just, end with a biblical story. And it's Jesus on the boat in a storm with his disciples. And these are fishermen, so they know the water. And the storm comes and Jesus is sleeping on the boat. And they said, "Do you not care that we're going to perish?" And Jesus stood up and he spoke to the wind and he spoke to the sea. And he said, "Peace, be still." That's what this service and this organization and this ministry offers you, the peace of God, with the peace with God, for peace for you. Thank you for being a part
of
our family.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.